while you slowly awaken from your slumber, we'll be waiting for you at the blue line, stick in hand. This is Hockey This Morning on NHL Home Ice.
6 seconds. This is no miracle. It is a reward for building excellence, and Mike Richter should be the guy that will sit across Poland. The final score, Team USA 5, Canada 2. Team USA has won the World Cup.
Welcome back to Hockey This Morning on NHL Home Ice. A lot of hockey fans will tell you 1980 was huge. A lot of young hockey fans will tell you that they think back to that World Cup win as a definitive moment in their lives. Joining us to talk a little bit more about the history of USA Hockey, author of Star Spangled Hockey, and the hockey writer from USA Today, Kevin Allen. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing great. It's a nice, cold, wintry day here in Michigan. Snow's coming down. Big hockey game at Joe Louis Arena. It just couldn't be a better day.
No, it could not. To take the words from Bob Johnson, it's a great day for hockey for sure. And we were just actually talking to John Keating from Fox Sports Detroit about that game in Detroit tonight and just how remarkable an accomplishment it could end up being for them. I mean, it is already. To win 20 games consecutively at home is already quite a feat, but to break a record that stood as long as the Flyers and even more so the Bruins from 1929-30 would be a pretty remarkable feat.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, any time you can take down an 82-year-old record, and I know there's been a lot of discussion that the fact that, you know, when the 29-30 Bruins and the 75-76 Flyers were playing, that the possibility of ties was still there. But, you know, they didn't have parity like we have in today's game with the salary cap era. So I think that kind of cancels it out. And, you know, to win 20 consecutive games, you know, anywhere is, you know, phenomenal. But right now in the NHL, when the teams are so close in terms of talent, I think it's amazing. And I think it kind of speaks to, you know, the Red Wings, their level of accomplishment has been so much that they kind of need things like this to keep them motivated. And I think I was talking to Nick Lidstrom about this, and he agreed. He just said, you know, you get these little sort of chases that they have, and they get excited about it.
And you know what? I mean, it's something that we've talked about here many times. You can only play in the era, in which you are playing. You can't control what happened 50 years ago. And you're not going to suddenly change, you know, the way the game is played now in order to give legitimacy to a record. I think the record has legitimacy on its own.
Well, absolutely. And to me, this is what sports is about. I mean, you know, it's kind of been lost in this era when, you know, some of the debates on the bottom of our stories are a little nasty. But to me, what sports are about is that you and I sitting around debating about, you know, which is the better team and what would have happened if, you know, that's the fun of sports. So, you know, we can talk all day about what, you know, what this means in terms of the era. But the big thing is, you know, they're doing it now, and they got a chance to win 21 consecutive home games, which is remarkable.
Well, perfect then, because I want to talk about what if. We hear all the time, and for good reason, up here in Canada. I mean, I'm sick of hearing about 1972. 1987 to me doesn't, the Canada Cup win doesn't get the same traction. I understand why. But in the States, 1980 will always be big. But as Rossi said, a lot of kids are growing up and playing hockey way long after that happened. 1996 was big too. How big would the gold medal have been almost 2 years ago if the States had scored that goal? They were only one goal away from upsetting the apple cart in Canada in front of all the hyped up fans in Vancouver. It was still a monumental silver medal. But if they get that goal, how big would that win have been?
Well, I think it would have been big in just in terms of notoriety of the sport. I think the difference would have been, you know, when 1980 came along, you know, that just changed the, you know, level of participation and the interest to become top-level players. But now I think just by the number of ranks that are in this country, it would be hard for the sport to grow much more beyond, you know, where it is now, unless they develop more ranks. So I'm not sure it would have changed that way. But I think it would have created a little more notoriety and perhaps inspired, you know, a couple of 9, 10, and 11-year-olds to, you know, get in the game and want to be Olympic hockey heroes as opposed to going into, you know, football or baseball. And, you know, that was the big thing of the 1980 Olympic gold medal from the NHL standpoint is that a whole generation of players, Roenick, Tkachuk, you know, Mike Madonnell, those guys were all inspired by seeing Mike Ruzzioni score that goal, and they became great players. Now, you know, Keith Kachuk might have gone into football had he not watched that. I mean, we don't know that for sure, but I'm just saying, you know, they've all brought that up, that America's greatest hockey generation was created. So I think that could have been the difference. We might have spawned another great generation if, you know, Parisi could have put one in, or Kessel, as opposed to watching Sidney Crosby do it.
We are getting set for the fifth annual USA Hockey Weekend across America, Kevin. And you put together a fantastic look back at 75 years of USA hockey history with Star Spangled Hockey. It's available at Amazon.com. And we spoke to you earlier this season about the book, but just to sort of reiterate, you know, just where USA hockey is nowadays. I mean, the one thing that I think really blew me away from the day one of doing this this show and other shows on this channel was just how widespread the hockey fan base is in the United States. They're in all pockets of the U.S., in all states, though maybe not in huge, you know, metropolitan areas, but there are just so many hockey fans out there and people that cling to the game and love the game. Is that something, is that fan base bigger now than it's ever been?
Absolutely. And, you know, the important element of it is the demographics of the sport in the United States have changed. I remember in the 1970s I saw a study on the geography of sport, and they showed kind of a hockey belt where participation was, and it was essentially a kind of a black line in Massachusetts, you know, Michigan and Minnesota. You know, if I saw that today, there'd be a nice big pocket in California. You know, we'd have Ohio represented, we'd have Florida represented. You know, some of the best youth teams in the United States are coming out of Florida and Texas now. In St. Louis, everybody's talking about the great young players that are coming out of there, because they've got players like former NHL players like McGinnis and Kachuk and Jeff Brown are coaching teams there. And because of that, they're producing elite-level players. So, you know, to me, the biggest change is NHL scouts now have to go to places like Texas and Florida. And I know Carolina believes they're going to have some NHL players coming out of there as well. We're getting a lot of NHL players out of places that, you know, 40 years ago you'd have never thought would be possible.
Kevin, we had the pleasure yesterday of speaking with Mr. Dick Kazmaier here, who won the 1951 Heisman Trophy, and his daughter, his late daughter, the trophy, the Patty Kazmaier trophy is named after her. I guess it's the equivalent trying to think of the name.
The Heisman or the Hobie Baker?
Hobie Baker, thank you. But too many names coming out of my head. And I didn't know this story. Now, I ran back. Rossi said it was in your book, and a great picture in your book. Maybe you could fill in people on about this. Man, talk about a family in American sports. A gentleman who wins the Heisman, and then a daughter who obviously tragically passes away too soon, but has the equivalent trophy named after her. That's quite the story in itself.
Well, absolutely, and you know, it was quite an athletic family, and I think it kind of speaks to how the game has, you know, changed and altered. You know, a football star has a daughter, and you know, she ends up in a non-traditional American sport of hockey, as opposed to, you know, going into basketball or softball, which would have been, you know, a more traditional way. But you know, she was a top-flight player, and as you said, tragically, you know, died young, and you know, they've honored her with a trophy. And you know, to me, what's remarkable is that how quickly the importance of that trophy has been established in the United States. It took a while for the Hobie Baker trophy, the college equivalent to the men's equivalent, to establish itself. When in the first few years, I remember, you know, there was hardly any notoriety to it. And the Kazmaier kind of took off. Like, it's well known, you know, in the sporting world now. And I think the growth of American hockey, you've kind of seen, even though the competitive level at the Olympics has not been very good, in the college level, it's been really good in the United States. And I think it's considered one of the fastest growing sports in the U.S.
Kevin, one of the big things that we certainly like to do with regards to Hockey Weekend across America is really get the theme days out there. And obviously on the Friday, it's something that we've done here on Hockey This Morning for many years. It's a Jersey Friday. We want folks to wear their favorite hockey jersey, whether they're going to work, going to school. Then, of course, over the weekend, it's bring a fan to the game and let them experience the game firsthand. And Mick and I have long said that that, to me, is the best way to make a hockey fan out of maybe just an average sports fan. Take them to a game. Let them experience that. Take me back for you and your beginnings around hockey and what sort of got you interested in the game and made you a fan of the game.
That's a great question. Having grown up in the Michigan area and 40 miles from the now deceased Olympia Stadium, it was Gordie Howe. Gordie Howe, when I was young, was in his prime. It was all everyone talked about. And even though hockey has not had a national footprint in the United States for a long period of time, in Detroit, when I grew up, it was as big as the NFL or baseball. I mean, everybody knew Gordie Howe, and he was just such a figure. And I remember going down to Olympia when I was very young, and you could take a bus down there and get into the games, and just seeing I was just mesmerized by the speed of the game. And I think you bring up a good point. Like, and it's still true today. I mean, it was true in the '60s and the early '60s, and it's true now. Is that people have no idea what hockey's about until they actually get into an arena and watch how fast the players are traveling. And I tell non-fans this all the time when I've been speaking, is that, so skaters now are upwards of 30 miles an hour. And, they average about 210 pounds. They're 6'2". They're shooting pucks at 90 miles an hour. The physics of hockey are incredible. They're dangerous, and it can be scary because you have almost car wrecks out there. But when you're in and you just sort of realize the impact and the significance and, as I said, the physics of the game, I think that just draws people in. There's just an excitement because of the speed that you don't find in any other sport. I mean, in football, I think top speed would be, 8 or 9 miles an hour, if you can get guys going that speed. I mean, three times that fast in the NHL.
Kevin, I appreciate you dropping by here and want to remind folks that Star Spangled Hockey is available online at Amazon.com. Have a great hockey weekend across America. Kevin, thanks for joining us today.
Looking forward to it. Thank you very much, guys.
Kevin Allen from USA Today. You can follow him on Twitter, KAUSA Today on Twitter. And again, Amazon.com for Star Spangled Hockey. Is hockey weekend across America is the fifth annual weekend presented by Reebok. Starts on Friday with Wear Your Jersey Day, sponsored by ShopUSAHockey.com. On Saturday, it's Try Hockey Day, sponsored by the NHL. And on Sunday, Celebrate Local Hockey Heroes Day, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Responsible Sports. And NBC, of course, presenting Hockey Day in America on Sunday. For the second year, they will broadcast two NHL games, one regional and one national, and have all kinds of hockey stories from various levels of the game on the network throughout the day. Our coverage continues tomorrow with Scott Monahan, Senior Director of Operations for USA Hockey's National Team Development Program.